I'm going to talk about spiritual gifts. Open up to Luke chapter 1. I'm really happy with the spiritual gifts, how they're operated here in Bunbury. A lot of people get used. So this talk, I just thought, just an information session, really, about the spiritual gifts that are in the meeting. And, just so that we all understand what they're all about. And it's just good to, I guess, refresh everyone in their mind what they are all about. But generally, I find that the gifts are operated very well here in Bunbury. People have a desire to be used and are used, which is really, really encouraging. But we'll start with Luke chapter 1. This is Old Testament time, as I've mentioned before. It was before Jesus died and rose again to usher in the new spiritual realm, spiritual time. And I'm just going to read a couple of prophecies here. Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. And Mary arose in those days. She was in those days being she was pregnant. She just heard from the angel that she will be miraculously conceive. Verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, the babe being John the Baptist. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. So Elizabeth goes on earlier that, Elizabeth and Zacharias were quite confused about the whole thing. In fact, Zacharias himself queried the Lord, said, how can this be? And as a result of his unbelief, he couldn't speak. So they were people that had no real strength in themselves. But when this lady called Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, she just spoke forth with power through the Holy Ghost and prophesied about this babe that was yet to be born of Mary, the Lord, which became, Jesus Christ, inspired by the Holy Ghost. Just over the page, or my page in my scriptures, verse 67. And his father, that's John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, so bear in mind, up until John the Baptist was born, Zacharias couldn't speak. But now he's filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So amazing prophecy here about his own son, John the Baptist. He'll go before the Lord, go before Jesus. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that he'll go before and prepare the Lord's ways, help to usher in a new way of baptism and repentance, that being the important thing. and also to teach people that the person after me is greater than me. Him, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So amazing prophecies from these people of low standing in society. It was just as a result of the power of the Holy Ghost, they spoke these things that they hadn't seen yet. Okay, Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I'll be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. So Moses, of course, saw himself as this person that couldn't do what the Lord wanted him to. He said that he's slow of speech and slow of tongue, claiming to be a simpleton. You know, how can he eloquently speak unto this whole nation of Israel that's been chosen of God? And but despite who he was, God still chose him. You can read elsewhere that God ultimately got annoyed with Moses, said, got angry with him and said, No, you are the one I've chosen to do this, to be my mouthpiece with the nation of Israel. So despite who Moses saw himself to be, God still chose him. And also at this stage, in God's eyes, out of all the people of Israel, there was no one else. Moses was the only person who was worthy to carry this responsibility and to speak on behalf of the Lord to the nation of Israel. And also, sometimes in our own walk, there seems to be no one else. And we've got to step up. And it's difficult because we always, I mean, we understand the weakness of the flesh and the strength of the spirit. We understand what we're like. And before the Lord, but sometimes there's a point where it just seems like there's no one else and we've just got to step up and just trust in the Lord, just like Moses had to. Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 11. Go in, this is the Lord speaking, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. So Moses was still whinging. He still didn't quite get it, that the Lord had chosen Moses. And he's still claiming here to be a simpleton, uncircumcised lips. And but still, the Lord needed him. And so despite Moses' weakness in his flesh, as you can read further in the scriptures, he used Moses in great things. And that's so important as well in our own walk, is when the Lord uses us, the glory goes to God, because we know we are nothing in ourselves, you know, praise the Lord. We're just a vessel, and that's what Moses was. He understood his weaknesses, and as a consequence, whatever greatness that was imparted upon him was totally of the Lord. Verse 28. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? He still hasn't sunk in. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of this land. So And also there was further on, I know there's a point where Moses had a bit of a whinge to the Lord, as if he already hasn't, said, oh, why have you chosen me to do this thing? Ah, I don't want to deal with these people. But he still felt inadequate in himself, but it was all of the Lord. And I've told a couple of people here, but maybe when I was in Perth, it must have been a Friday night meeting. Pastor Kevin asked me to open up in prayer at this meeting. First time ever. And I was standing there. Graham Black was still around then. And nothing came out of my mouth. It was so embarrassing. I'm standing there. Everyone's waiting for me to say something. Nothing. And I remember thinking it was just a void in my head as well. I just had no idea. And it was so embarrassing. And Pastor Kevin, he just said, just say amen. So I said amen. And that was it. That was my first experience of opening in prayer at a meeting. But I did it a second time as well. The second time Pastor Kevin asked me to close in prayer at this little meeting. Still nothing in my brain. Nothing came out of my mouth. And he goes, I'll just say amen. So I said amen. So, you know, I know the weaknesses in my flesh, so whatever is projected is of the Lord. You know, the Lord just gets all the glory. The words come from the Lord. We rely on him so much. Isaiah chapter 6. What was good about that first time, because Graham Black, he understood a lot. Straight after the meeting, he was standing right next to me. And he's just encouraging me. And I remember him saying, oh, yeah, we've all been there before. And I look, yeah, whatever, Graham. There's no way you would have been lost for words. But anyway, they were nice words to say to this bloke who felt about that big. Isaiah chapter 6. And verse 5. Then said I, this is Isaiah, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. So even Isaiah says in my introduction that he was a prophet chosen of God to articulate to Israel what God wanted for 40 years, I think it was. Four kings of Judah were alive while Isaiah was around. He was around during King Hezekiah. And so he also saw himself as a man of unclean lips, someone who could not speak well. But the Lord cleaned up his mouth so that he could articulate himself well. And then it got to a point where Isaiah was so encouraged when the Lord said, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And then Isaiah thought, yeah, I've got my clean lips now. I can speak for the Lord. I will do it. Send me. Jeremiah chapter 1. So again, those clean lips came from the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth, out of the womb I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I've put my words in thy mouth. So again, Jeremiah saw himself as just a child, and the Lord said, no, don't look at yourself like a child. You know, these words come from the Lord. And in Old Testament times, as I've just read, the Lord chose individuals to be a prophet and to speak to Israel on his behalf. And it seems from what we read that the Lord actually articulated to these people what he wanted them to say. He would say, oh, say unto such and such this. And so he only chose those few people to do that work and what he had to say unto people. Hebrews chapter 1. I read this out recently, but Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And the prophets played a big part. They were just people, and the Lord kept sending his prophets unto the people so that they knew what the Lord was saying. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as we read before, in times past, in sundry times, that's how the Lord did it. Verse 2, hath in these last days, after Jesus died and rose again, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So now it's a bit different. Now he's spoken unto us by his Son, and we have his Spirit within us, and so it's just different. It's just different now. Acts chapter 1, it's a new age, a new testament. Old things are passed away. So Acts chapter 1, and verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So now it's all about the Holy Ghost. That's what it's all about. Up until Jesus died and rose again, there was a different way of doing things, but now it's all about the Holy Ghost. And through the Holy Ghost, commandments are given unto the apostles and those whom he has chosen. So, James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm or a rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so you can imagine with Isaiah, Moses and Jeremiah, they knew this. They knew their tongue would flap around and cause all sorts of problems. As it says here, the tongue is an unruly member. And we speak in tongues. So when you think about it, God has tamed this evil and unruly member. We speak in tongues, this pure language. God has tamed it with us. And if we knew what we were saying when we were speaking in tongues, we would then corrupt it, wouldn't we? Because it was coming from our mind. It would no longer be a pure language from the Lord. And that's something I really struggled with when I first came to the Lord, was why do I have to speak this language I don't understand? What's the point? And then someone explained to me, well, yeah, if you did understand it, it would not be pure. And this unruly member would not have been fully tamed by the Lord because of that avenue of corruption. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. That is such an important aspect of praying in tongues, that our understanding is unfruitful. It's all about the spirit. And so when we speak in English, that's not 100% of the Spirit. English, we understand, and so there's an avenue for corruption. When you speak in English, you cannot completely speak a pure language to God. And so that's an important point to keep in mind as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter of love. Verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So, how do I explain this? So now in the New Testament times, we're getting closer to being perfect. So in Old Testament times, the Lord just chose a prophet and spoke through them. But now we're getting a bit closer to being perfect because we're through the Spirit. The Lord speaks through the Spirit, but we're not quite there yet. The perfection will be when Jesus comes. And when that which is perfect is come, there'll be no room for prophecies and all, the tongue shall cease and knowledge will vanish away. There's no room for that because it's perfection, but we're not quite there yet. So the Lord has this other avenue whereby he works through us. And it says there, verse 9, it says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." So even when people speak in English and they're prophesying, it's still only in part. It's still not the full word of God. It's part because it's English. 1 Corinthians chapter 32. What did I say? Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. I remember I was knocking on doors with Rod and we spoke to this lady and we read this out and she was stumped by this verse. And it actually, after I thought about it, I thought, yeah, it was good that she was stumped by this verse. I mean, it says there that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So when someone speaks out in prophecy, that spirit of prophecy is actually subject unto the person who's speaking. So that comes back to the whole thing that we prophesy in part, that we're speaking in English, so that it's restricted by the language and even the grasp of the language. It's subject unto us, the prophet. And before I moved to Perth, I kind of stopped being used in the gifts, because I always understood, you know, when you come out in the gifts, there's a part of its flesh and a part of its spirit. You just hope that most of it will be part of the spirit. But there's always a portion of flesh and spirit. And admittedly, when I first started speaking out in prophecy, there's probably a fair bit of flesh and a little bit of spirit, but it slowly gets bigger and bigger. But I stopped being used in the gifts because I thought it was unedifying stuff that was coming out of my mouth that wasn't from the Lord. And nobody ever mentioned anything to me. I just felt like that was the way it was. So I stopped. I subsequently found out later it wasn't true. It's just the way I felt. I was embarrassed because I thought I had uncircumcised lips, unclean lips. Because of that kind of battle between spirit and flesh, it just seemed like there was too much flesh. But there was still portions of spirit there. Back to verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So yeah, we all desire to be used in the gifts, which is great, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Verse 12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, that zealousness of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. So there's prayer that's required here. So we've got that desire. We're zealous to be used in the spiritual gifts. Let's pray. And Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. edification, building up. We get dragged down so much when we're rubbing shoulders with people of the world, or we're caught up in the situation that we're in and we can't fully serve the Lord how we'd like to. So we need to be exhorted and edified. That's an important part of it. And just a great example, when Pastor Tim was still here, I was down to give the odd talk on a Wednesday evening, and I remember I got out of my car, walked to the door, and all I could think of was I had to prepare a talk for that Wednesday, that evening. All I could think of was a sheepfold. That's all that was going in my mind. I remember opening the door, sheepfold. And I sat down at my table to prepare this talk. Sheepfold? I'm thinking, Lord, how am I supposed to write a talk about sheepfold? So I ignored it. So I've done this before. I just flipped the Bible open, read a couple of verses somewhere, I can't remember. Totally nothing to do with sheepfold. I was preparing the talk, but the sheepfold thing was niggling in the back of my mind. And so it eventually came back to a few scriptures, and actually it came back to a talk about the sheepfold. And I was really worried, thinking, oh, great, what's going on here? Concerned about what I've got to present to the people. You know, it's got to feed the flock. And on Wednesday, they operate the gifts of the Holy Spirit before the talk. Three of the gifts were about the sheepfold. I was just dumbfounded. I thought, man, the movement of the Spirit, I praise the Lord. It was just amazing. And then, of course, Pastor Tim recognized that. So in his introduction, he spoke about the sheepfold. And it was just amazing. And I got up and I thought, okay, there's been no collusion here, everyone. It's just of the Lord. And that's the amazing thing about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And around the same time, Lawrence was preparing a talk about the sheepfold. So he gave his next talk on the sheepfold. So maybe God wanted us to hear about something with that. But it's the whole unity of the Spirit. It's not of us. And also, earlier this year, after Pastor Tim left, there was a visiting pastor. And I remember the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all six were about the same thing. I remember getting up, well, okay, there was a bit of a theme with that one, wasn't there? It's amazing, you know, like it's of the Lord. Yes, there is this kind of thing with the flesh and the spirit, but it's of the Lord, you know. We give Lord the praise. And also, I've come out in gifts of prophecy where it's been used in the talk, and you get a real buzz from that. You know, it's really exciting. Oh, wow, you know, the person giving the talk, it lined up, you know, that unity of the Spirit. But also the person giving the talk, that's something a lot of people forget. The person who's actually presenting the talk gets a real buzz from the fact that the gifts lined up, especially when the gifts go before the talk, when it all lines up. It's just wonderful. Pastor Tim mentioned a lot as well, and I'll carry on mentioning. That's why the gifts are such an important part of the meeting. And other church groups I went to before coming to the Revival Fellowship did not operate the gifts according to the scriptures, and it just wasn't blessed. And I was at a meeting a while ago, a couple of years ago, where I was, right, I'm a visitor. I'm going to sit back and listen to these gifts. I was really excited not to be used in the gifts. I was a bit shocked about the lack of the gifts that came out. But that then, because I understood how important the gifts are in the meeting, you know, I sat back and I just prayed to the Lord. Lord, I just want to be used in every meeting. I haven't, but for whatever reason, but that was my prayer. And to be used in the gifts, because it really does link the whole day together. And also, people are afraid to be used. You just start with speaking in tongues. But what you've got to realize as well is those that are used in the gifts just get so excited when they hear someone new pop up. You know, oh, yeah, good on them. They gave it a go. It's just really exciting for us to hear someone new. Because we know how nerve-wracking it is. We know that it is nerve-wracking speaking on behalf of the Lord and when you're in a group. But you just kind of need to give it a go. In your own time, of course. Like people do it in their own time, but it's nothing to be afraid of. Chapter 14, verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And so we operate the gifts of the Holy Spirit, tongue interpretation, tongue interpretation, tongue interpretation. Tongues are so important, part of the meeting. It shows that that the Spirit's here. It shows that miracles are here to visitors. But also, how can you interpret if nobody comes out in tongues first? So it's just such an important part of the meeting. And it's a sign that there are miracles that happen here in this group and that we all speak in tongues. So tongues are an important part of the gifts also. Even though we desire to be used in prophecy, still be used in tongues. Next verse, 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? It's articulated there in a funny kind of way, but what Paul's saying is with the Corinthian church, they're fumbling along trying to work out how to do things. And so obviously people are speaking in tongues, prophesying all over the place. There's no structure. I was talking to a bloke who went to another church and they operated the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're all speaking in tongues all over the place. And he spoke to this lady sitting next to him that when she first came along, her exact words were, "I thought everyone was mad." Just what it says in the scriptures. If there's no structure decently and in order, people think we're mad. So that's why we follow the scriptures, and this is why Paul pulled the Corinthians up. 24, but if all prophesy and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. And just with Jody's testimony, falling on his face, not literally falling on their face. We don't see that sort of stuff here, okay? We don't fall over. It's just, oh my goodness, just what's dawning on this person, that that God is pretty amazing. 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. It's all crazy. People think you're mad. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And I find it remarkable that, you know, when you're filled with the Spirit, oh, let's just move with the Spirit, shall we? Let's just move with the Spirit. But, which is great, that's a part of it, but there is a point where you need structure. And so Paul brings in this structure, and it's pretty obvious, two or three, two at the most three. And so we've got this great guidance here. And there's an aspect there, verse 30. 29. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. So I referred before that there is this flesh and this spirit thing, and so others judge as well, whether it is of the Spirit, whether it's of God or not, whether it's edifying, exhorting and comforting or not. And so there is this judgment. God loves righteous judgment. And so we all tune in as to whether it is of God or not, and whether it is edifying, exhorting, or comforting. And the other thing, you know, I mentioned before that when we speak in English, we only prophesy in part because we speak with our mind. So we actually speak on behalf of God. And that's an important aspect. We speak on behalf of God. The scriptures, we can come out with scriptures, but it's not actually God's word. God's word is the Bible. We just speak on behalf of him. Oh, that's it. Just a bit of information about the spiritual gifts and how important it is in the meeting, and to pray about it and have that zealousness to be used in the gifts, and to be part of it, part of the excitement and the movement of the Spirit.